Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 24 Communications Make It Happen podcast. I'm your host, Callie Hintze. At 24, we make it happen every day. We've built a fast-growing ad agency, combining our award-winning talent with client vision, translating real results to the bottom line. Here, we'll bring you stories, content, and more from real-life entrepreneurs, just like us, who make it happen every day in their own field. We hope you leave inspired and ready to make it happen in your own life. Thanks for tuning in. Today, we're talking to our senior website developer, Dirk. Welcome, Dirk.
Hey, thank you, Callie. It's good to be here.
So you and I have kind of talked a little bit, and I feel like this is a timely topic for us to be doing a podcast on, given that we're in the middle of this pandemic, which is quite crazy, to say the least.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, you and I go into these website meetings all the time, and I'm constantly amazed at how companies kind of go down these different roads and get stuck with decisions regarding their website when we know from our side of it, we could have made it so much easier if they had just called us first. So I kind of wanted to address some of those common things that we hear and then just talk a little bit about why, in particular, in this environment we're in right now, it's always important to have a mobile, responsive, user-friendly, easy-to-navigate website and for it to be secure. But I think now more than ever, that has been brought to the forefront with all this COVID-19 communication and people needing to get information to their employees and to their customers quickly. And I know just looking at certain websites where specifically public agency websites that you can tell haven't been updated in years and the site may not be mobile friendly, it can be very frustrating to try to get real-time information. So those are the kind of things I just kind of wanted to talk through with you a little bit. But before we get started, for the listener, tell us a little bit about your background as a website developer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So actually, I have a degree in technical writing. And part of the requirement to obtain that degree in technical writing was to build some websites to just understand how to provide online sources for whatever type of information, whether it be documentation or, you know, just an advertisement of any kind. So I made a website for this course in school, and I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it so much that my brother needed some help with a website and asked me if I could help him out. So I built a website called RacingSnailInc.com for him.
Cool.
Yeah, and that did really well. And from there, you know, it was just kind of word of mouth. More and more people I came across needed help with various things on the internet. So after building that website, I spent a lot of time actually working on an online database of names. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. So it required the indexing of tens of thousands of MP3 files, you know, that were stored in a database. And so we had to, you know, I had to make it so they could be pulled quickly and efficiently. And that was a lot of fun working on that. And from there, it really just took off. After making that website, I learned enough about how databases work and how to move large amounts of information that I was able to take on, you know, some small clients and maintain, I think it was probably 8 to 10 clients there for about 2 to 5 years, or I'm sorry, about 2 or 3 years until mm-hmm. I got a job actually at a call center doing tech support, maintaining their websites, and also maintaining all their hardware and internal systems.
And that's one thing that, I mean, I know when I meet with clients, your specialty in database administration, that's a whole other level because most people, that's hard. That's a hard skill to find. So that's probably a whole nother podcast, but, you know, that's something I like to tout when we meet with clients, especially if they have database needs, that we have a senior level database administrator on staff who can help, like you said, move large blocks of information and manage that with no problem. But getting into like some of the common frustrations that clients have when they're hiring someone to design or develop a website. It's not unlike what we see in design in general. And I kind of want you to speak to why it's important that people understand the need to invest in a proper website. We see clients, you know, from time to time who will come to us, for example, for a logo or a website, and they'll say, well, I had, you know, so-and-so had a brother who was working on it, or we hired a freelancer to do it, and that person took another job, and now we can't get in touch with them, or I hired someone offshore, and I can't get in touch with them, or oops, here we go. It turns out I don't even own the website,
yeah.
And now I've got to start over from the ground up. So they end up spending all of this money when they're trying to save a buck on the front end, and like anything else, it's kind of, you know, I'm like, gosh, I hate that you had to go through that, because even though, you know, we're certainly not the cheapest, if you would have saved yourself in the long run had you invested and hired us or another qualified firm, whatever, to do this thing right from the jump, instead of trying to, you know, kind of piecemeal it together, or cut corners, and then you're stuck with either it doesn't work, you can't access the back end, or you don't own it.
That's right.
So talk a little bit about like what your experience with that and why it's important to spend the money to invest and have it done right.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't invest the appropriate amount of resources into your website, you might find yourself kind of, like you said, you get caught in this loop where you're never really quite satisfied with the final product, because you're not really, you know, you get what you pay for in a sense, but then also, you don't really have a relationship with a developer that's super concerned about your website. Like you're kind of just a client that's passed through the mm-hmm. website mill. You know, once that website's posted and they get their paycheck, you know, like you said, it can often be hard to get a hold of them for updates, for continued support and various items like that. You know, I've seen it happen a lot of times where, you know, people write that final check, their website's posted, and then you just never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. And also owning your domain, like you said, I mean, one of the worst scenarios anyone can ever be caught in is when their web developer owns their domain. And it's just unethical. And mm-hmm. it's something that we certainly take seriously, you know, at 24 Communications. And we give everyone ownership, the keys to the castle, whatever it takes, to their own website and files.
Mm-hmm. And why? So we at 24, we build primarily WordPress websites, and talk a little bit about why you like WordPress and what it means to have an open source platform.
Yeah, WordPress is really great. There are other CMSs out there like Joomla and Drupal that are not quite as refined as WordPress. You know, being an open source platform, it has probably the largest community of developers and users contributing knowledge to that platform. So since it's open source, you know, there's tens and thousands of people all over the world, you know, not just the United States, but all over the world, constantly making contributions to not, you know, just the core of WordPress, but also creating new functionality through plugins and various types of, you know, new functionality.
You know, what I touched on earlier, now that we're in this COVID-19 pandemic, and I mean, we've seen it with the communications that we've worked on for our clients and trying to get information to their employees, to their customers. You know, nobody saw this coming, of course, but it really drives the point home of how important it is to have a mobile responsive website. So talk a little bit about that, about why it is important to have a mobile responsive website. And if you are a company or a state agency or public agency, and you've got a website that's, you know, 5-10 years old, and it hasn't been a priority to spend the money to update it and make it mobile responsive, not just why it's important for the user experience, but also from, you know, from the standpoint of Google crawling the site and how it hurts you from an organic search standpoint when you have an outdated site that's not mobile responsive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a good point because more people are actually using the internet on mobile devices than they are desktops. And that's something that did happen fairly recently, but that's also something that did inspire Google to begin, you know, lowering the search rankings on websites that don't have that mobile experience. And it's more than just, you know, sizing your website for a mobile screen. You know, sometimes it requires you offloading certain resources, like you might not want to have, you know, high file size images or videos playing right when you load, because depending on people's bandwidth, you know, for their phone providers, you know, it'll decrease the speed and loading of that mobile website. So in addition to styling it for a mobile device, you also want to make it function faster for a mobile device. Because the last thing you want to depend on is, you know, assuming that somebody has some kind of, you know, gigabyte connection on their phone, which a lot of people usually don't, especially people out there in the country. So it's important that you have a website that looks good on mobile, is fast on mobile, functions well, because that's the platform that people these days are using most to access your information.
And I'll see that a lot where you can tell, like maybe it's a state agency or municipality or whatever, you can tell that they've sized it for the mobile screen, but it's not truly mobile responsive.
That's right. Yeah. They just kind of squish everything down into a smaller view, but it can get really convoluted when you don't design something specifically for mobile. So, I mean, there is responsive design that, you know, kind of adapts as you change the window, which is great in a lot of circumstances. But you're also, you know, these days, it's almost like a mobile first design perspective, because it's so important to concentrate on that element of your website that, you know, you should really consider making sure it looks fantastic on mobile, and then, you know, kind of maybe build it out a little bit more from that stage to desktop.
And what are some of the basic security features that every site needs to have? I know we put SSL certificates on all of our sites, but speak to that a little bit about some of the basic security features that need to be part of the website build to make the site less vulnerable.
Yeah, SSL is definitely a very big one. It was not always mandatory, and I suppose it's still not mandatory for a site to have.
Explain what that means for people who may not know what an SSL certificate is.
Yeah, so an SSL is a secure socket layer. It's basically a level of encryption that encrypts the data going from your browser to whatever internet server you're communicating with. And so why that's important, you know, is if you're filling out forms or something like that, you don't really want that sensitive information being passed, you know, just willy-nilly where somebody can just pick it up or intercept it, you know, in that relay from your computer to the server. And in the past, you know, it was really only mandatory for things like e-commerce sites where you've got sensitive information like credit card information going back and forth and things like that. But now, you know, we've realized that at all times, you know, people can track many things beyond just your credit card information. They can track, you know, websites you're visiting and various aspects of your computer behavior, for example, if you're not on that encrypted connection.
And why is it so important? So with all the websites that we build, if someone calls us and says, hey, I want to get a quote for you to do my website, we'll meet with the client, we'll scope the project, we'll put together a proposal of what it's going to take for us to redesign and build it. And then after we bring the sites live, we start a maintenance package, which includes 3 hours of maintenance per month to include the hosting on our dedicated server and then plugin updates and all the WordPress updates. But why is it important to have a qualified developer doing the updates to the site and not just go in the back end and where it says, you know, your site has 13 updates that need to be made and you just click update now, how that can break the site?
Yeah, that's true. Plugins don't always play nicely in the same playground. At any given time, you could update, you know, a menu plugin and it could, you know, destroy the navigation of your website, which is a very bad thing. And it's really great to test them in a staging environment, which is, I know, something that, you know, we obviously do here at 24C. But if you don't have access to those tools on your own, you know, you can get away with updating your plugins, you know, for a while, but you're inevitably going to hit that issue where something breaks. You know, you can even get blocked out of your admin panel, for example, so that you can't even log back in again. So unless you have resources mm-hmm. like access to the database and the core files of that website, then you don't really have true control over being able to bring it back in a situation like that. But, you know, since we work in staging environments, which is basically a copy of your live site that's, you know, hosted in another location, we can work on that exact duplicate of the site, apply those plugin updates, even do design changes and styling changes, things like that. And once we're confident that everything is working and it's been 100% tested, then we can push those changes to the production site and takes, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and then all the those changes and updates are applied, you know, basically instantly.
Okay. Well, that answers my next question. I was going to get you to talk a little bit about what is a staging environment, why it is important to test updates in a staging environment before, instead of just doing them on the live site, because it can, if something goes wrong, then, you know, you can fix it in the copy versus doing it live on the website and potentially bringing it down, right?
Yeah, that's right. And also having a great contingency plan for restoring a backup is also a really great thing. So, you know, in addition to staging, you know, sometimes you might have an error happen on your website, you know, during the evening, or it might be something that's completely unrelated to what you're doing. For example, if a client is in the back end and decides to do some plugin updates, you know, which most of the time is okay. But, you know, if it breaks something, we can restore a backup in probably under 90 seconds. It depends on the size of the site, but we do take regular backups, and having that ability to get them deployed quickly is just very key into keeping your uptime to that 99.9%.
Are you looking for a creative team who can help bring your vision to life? At 24, we translate brand awareness straight to your bottom line. Check us out today at 24c.co. So for all of our clients, all of our website clients, we do the monthly maintenance every month. Is that the first thing that you do when you go in to make the updates, is make a copy of the site, or talk a little bit about your process when you're updating our client sites each month?
Yeah. So before I do anything at all, before I even log into the website, I take a backup of it, and then I push that backup to a staging environment. And that's when I actually log into the website. So I actually don't often log into the actual live websites when I'm doing plugin updates, unless it's something very simple, like changing a line of text or an image here and there. So beyond that, everything is done in the staging site. And, you know, after everything is approved, I mean, you can even create a whole new style in the staging site, for example, have it be a completely different site. And once that work has been completed, then we just push it to the live environment, and it's all said and done. You've got zero risk of any downtime due to a bad plugin update.
Mm-hmm. And so in talking about our approach to website design and development, when we go in and do a new website project, the client calls us, we get hired to do it. And then the first thing that we do is we meet with the client after we're engaged, and we have what we call a kickoff meeting. And we go through a comprehensive website creative brief where we talk about things like color choices and other websites that the client has, competitive websites that they may like or strongly dislike, to give us some direction on the design of the homepage and other things too. Color schemes, do they like white space? Are they staunchly opposed to too much white space? Things. Do they have custom images, or are they okay with using stock images? And we go through this whole process to kind of get a general direction of where we're going to go with the design. And then we hand it over to our creative team, and they usually create two interactive homepage design comps, which we Usually takes us about 30 days to do that piece. And then we show it to the client and they usually say, well, I like this about this one and this about the other one. We end up blending the two for a final homepage look. And then once that's agreed upon, we start building out the rest of the site for completion, placing all the copy, building the whole thing in total. And then before we bring it live, I know that we have a protocol in place where we have a checklist process that we go through before we bring a website live to try to get all the kinks out, scan it for broken links, that kind of thing, so that we can make sure that when we turn it on, so to speak, it's ready to go. Talk a little bit about that go live process and what your checklist looks like when you're moving through that part of the process.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The checklist is actually a very important part of the launching process. You know, after launching so many websites in the past, you do, you know, come across a lot of common issues that are very easy to avoid. And if you do, you know, the launch in a specific order, you tend to miss a lot of these headaches. And, you know, some of the items in this checklist, you know, they vary from, you know, checking that the DNS has propagated in all areas across the world to updating all the URLs in the website to make sure that they no longer point to any, you know, production or staging environments, you know, and then even down to little things like just checking the forms to make sure they're going to the right people and they contain the right subjects and the right fields. So if you, you know, go through all these things ahead of time and then, you know, you launch your site, you can be confident that it's going to be running smoothly. And I think what a lot of clients experience with some companies is, you know, they just kind of rush to get it launched because, you know, they might be spread a little thin or they're excited to move on to other, you know, other projects. And so they get the website launched and they realize, oh my goodness, you know, we didn't add analytics or we didn't uncheck the discouraged search engines checkbox, which can be absolutely devastating in terms of your search engine rankings. So by having a structured process in which we launch these sites, it removes a lot of the risk and a lot of the painstaking work that, you know, might have to be done in the future when you have to fix these issues later.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, and I know this sounds kind of simple and whatever, but I do run into this from time to time, especially if you know, on some of our public sector clientele, they'll say, well, I've got to let the person who built it the first time redesign and build it because it's hosted with them. And we go through a process of explaining that we can design and build it and they can maintain the hosting where they are, but we can also redesign and build it and we can host it. And it's a simple process of redirecting the domain to the new IP address. So talk a little bit about that. Cause I think sometimes, yeah. I mean, obviously if you don't work in website design and development every day, your knowledge about what's involved is limited, as is mine to some degree, because I'm not the person building it. I'm the person that interacts with the client, but obviously I've worked here long enough that I know what we're doing on the back end. So, but for those people who may think, well, I've got to let my internal IT department redesign it, and I don't have any options to go outside of that because it's hosted with them. Explain how really simple that is to redirect a domain and, you know, it's not a big deal at all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's fairly common for us to work with other hosting providers. Of course, you know, we prefer WP Engine, but there's a lot of clients out there who prefer robust platforms like Microsoft Azure or AWS with Amazon services. So it's never our goal, you know, to put you out of your comfort zone or to rebuild, you know, the way that you're currently doing things. You know, it's always our goal just to clean things up, you know, increase your online presence and obviously make things easier for you. You know, so by hiring a company like us, we're not going to come in and make your life more complicated. We can absolutely work with friends or people that you already have in place, whether it be a hosting provider or, you know, a previous designer. But really the ultimate goal is, you know, to help our clients achieve, you know, whatever they're currently lacking, whether it's advertising on the internet or their search engine rankings, most of the time, you know, a nice design overhaul is usually required. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what we're really great at. I mean, it's the full package. You're not just getting a great looking website, but you're getting a team who is willing to work with you on whatever aspects of your online presence you need. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important to, you know, keep your clients in their comfort zone, and you don't want to sell them things if they don't necessarily need them or if they're comfortable using something they already have.
Right. Is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation that you've experienced or that you see in the marketplace or anything that I haven't covered or asked you?
Yeah, there, you know, I definitely want to put an emphasis on how important it is to own your own domain. You never want to get involved with a designer, you know, who offers to purchase your domain for you so that they can manage it. It's okay if they manage your domain, but it should really be purchased by you and in an account under your name. That really is the keys to the castle, the title to your website, so to speak. So as long as you have that, you can always, you know, rest assured that you can move it wherever you want and have full control over where it exists and what it's doing. And mm-hmm. I'd also like to make another point. You know, we do have a lot of packages for, you know, maintaining content and doing updates to the website. But I also, you know, we do WordPress training as well. So mm-hmm. it's important that our clients know how to do that, so they know how to get into that admin area and make small edits and minor modifications if they need to. And that's always another red flag if you have a designer that's not willing to give you access to certain elements of your website, then you should really consider, you know, working with a team that's willing to provide you with all that information whenever you want it.
Yeah. And I know a lot of times, I mean, going back to the domain conversation, we may purchase the domain for a client, but we'll put in their billing information so that we're just handling the exercise for them.
That's
so
correct.
They don't get stuck or bogged down with, you know, whatever the domain provider, but we put their billing information in so that when it renews, it's billing their card. They don't have to. We don't ever want to be in a position where a domain expires and it's our fault. So we can certainly help with that process, but we do put their payment information in so that essentially it's all in their corner, if you will.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Keeping track of those passwords can be a big pain sometimes, which is also why services like Cloudflare are really great. You know, once you add a domain to Cloudflare, then you can access that client's DNS settings without ever having to log into their register again. Mm-hmm. So little things like that can also just really make it easier for the client, because then at that point, as long as their billing is up to date, they can just, you know, let us handle the DNS and we don't have to get access to those sensitive accounts.
Right. And then back to the WordPress training, I do think that that is a key thing that we do with all of our clients at the end of the project. Once the site is live, if we can do it in person, we certainly do, or we do it remote, where we'll do a 1-hour training and show our clients how to update, make simple updates to the site. And of course, most, if not all of them, have that 3 hours of monthly maintenance. So, you know, while a lot of times we'll train them on how to do it, it ultimately becomes easier for them to just say, hey, can y'all make these updates to my website? Because, you know, trying to remember, or if it's something that's you're adding images or changing out a slider or something that's a little bit more complex than just text edits, usually they will send those to us to do for them in that 3 hours. And rarely do we have a scenario where it goes beyond that, unless we were doing some database administration or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, even though it's possible to do a lot of things, you know, yourself, I mean, the quality of work that we provide, for example, is just amazing. I mean, we have fantastic graphic designers, and the level of edits that we go through, you know, as far as content and even just the appearance of the site is just over the top. So mm-hmm. you know, although you can do certain things yourself, I mean, I could try to take apart my lawnmower, and
I could probably
right. take it apart, but I'm not going to be able to put it back together.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, even though I have that capability and I have that kind of access, I think I'd rather leave it to somebody who's more apt at doing those things.
Yeah. And that's another point too, and this is another thing that I see quite a bit. And I think one of the benefits to hiring an agency like 24 is that you get a whole team of people that are not only technically sophisticated like yourself, but also you have the creative graphic design aspect of the project, which doesn't always go together. I can't tell you how many. We have several IT clients, and even though they have the highest level of IT wizards in their companies and on their team, they're not designers. So they could build anything on the backside of it, but the layout and making sure the navigation is user friendly and all of those decisions that go into building a great website, those aren't necessarily one and the same. So it is, to me, where you get the deal is that you get all of this great creative for the front side of it, and then the senior level developer side of it for the back end of it, but never assume that just because you have an IT guy that is in your company or in your building or whatever, that he can just build you a great website. Cause that we certainly know that, we have probably one of the largest IT companies in the state as a client, and they do tremendous work for the Department of Defense and lots of other government entities, but we've built their website, all of their websites, since 2006. So
yeah, that's true. What we do, it is really different. It's a form of technology, but it encompasses so many different things. When you think about the advertising and just making that impact, in search engine rankings, doing ads, printed ads, even things like that. And I think that, everyone having their own niche is extremely helpful. I've worked in the past on projects where you try to do it all, and, you find yourself spinning a lot of plates, and one of them is bound to break. You can only go on so long trying to do everything and trying to handle that level of clients, without a little bit of help, when you have a graphic designer and a project manager and a database administrator and people to do social media, I could go on and on, but it not only distributes the workload, but it gives those people the appropriate amount of time to do their job right, than just trying to get it all done, which is what I think a lot of people feel, is what they're forced to do. They just need to get it done. So they're not necessarily concerned about getting it right. They just want to finish it.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. We've worked with a lot of developers over the years. We've been in business since 2006, and head and shoulders, by far and away, you're the best. So, and I love the fact that
you
are so approachable for our clients and can jump in wherever you're needed on calls and meetings, whatever, and answer their questions intelligently and bring solutions to the table that, in their mind may otherwise seem complex. So we appreciate you and we thank you. And to those who are listening to this, if you need a website or if you have an outdated site that's not mobile responsive, give us a call and we'll be glad to talk to you and give you a quote for our services. So thank you, Dirk.
Yeah, thank you, Callie. It was my pleasure.
This concludes today's Make It Happen podcast. Thanks for listening.